chocolate girl. Love the mess, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. I'm letting go, oh God, letting go, oh God.
Welcome to the 3-Bot Radio Hour. This is Larry Rhodes, Doubter 5. And today I have a special guest with me, Ty Wells. Welcome to the show.
Hey, and welcome to you. Oh, thanks very much for having me over.
This is a show where we talk about free thought concepts, atheism, humanism, rational thought, and science. Conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs. You just heard an excerpt from one of them, and you'll be hearing others right here on this station. Also, we'll be talking about the atheist and rationalist groups here, right here in Knoxville, and how you can connect with them. Did you know that we also had an atheist TV show broadcasting here in Knoxville, and have had for 5 years? Actually, about six now.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's right, and we'll be talking about all of that, and be taking your calls as well. If you want to call in and talk to us, you can call us at 865-333-5937. That's 333-5937. But now, what we've got for us, Ty, you brought in a couple pieces of paper. What's that all about?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me over. It's really great to be here. As a good, quick background, I guess, my name's Tyrone Wells. I just came from Atlanta, beautiful Georgia, and I moved here, let's say, about 5 months ago. So I've been here since January, having a good time here. And I was just looking for, I guess, rationalists that I can meet with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I stumbled on to the meetup group.
The atheist meetup group?
Yeah, absolutely. There's one on meetup.com. If you search on meetup.com, it's for rationalism or humanism or atheism. There's actually a pretty strong community here. That came to me as a surprise.
That's right. There is. There's also another group, the rationalists. They call themselves the rationalists per se, rationalists of East Tennessee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're the ones with the billboard.
Right. They put up the billboard last spring.
That actually became kind of popular. I was going through, there's a website called knowyourmeme.com. And the biggest thing on that page was just this billboard that was put up right in front of a church.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't necessarily an offensive billboard, but it was just really funny.
No, it's basically a call for people who don't believe in God to let them know that there's a group here that they can join. And that's all it really said.
And I was actually surprised because I already knew about that billboard, but I didn't know it was in Tennessee. And when I saw that video again, I was like, wait a second, this is actually kind of close to where I live. Let me see if there's actually a group nearby here that I can come out to.
Yep, for sure.
And so it's been a really welcoming group. Came to you guys a couple of times for the lunches that you guys have at Barley's. And now you invited me over to talk today, and I'm happy to bring with me what I hope to have, what I have with me right now.
A stimulating, insightful conversation.
Ground rules for what I hope to be an interesting discussion between the two of us.
Right.
I know atheists don't necessarily. One of the great things about atheism, I think, is that atheists are allowed to disagree.
Oh yeah, the only thing we're guaranteed to agree on is whether they believe that there is a God or not.
Exactly.
I mean, it's one answer to one question, and anything after that is fair game.
Absolutely.
And political parties, supernatural beliefs,
right?
Even like Buddhists, you know, are technically atheists because they don't believe that Buddha is a God.
Sure.
They don't believe in a God per se, so they're atheists. But although they still believe in reincarnation and karma, things like that.
Sure. Yeah. You'd run into that a lot. So on that note, then I would say because we can disagree with each other, it gives us opportunities to get closer to what I hope to be a more definitive truth between the two of us.
Sure.
I think, so coming from a scientific background, just letting you guys know, I spent like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I've got a legitimate job coming out of school. Yeah. I've been in school for like the last, let's see, all my life basically, mm-hmm. and just finished grad school. So mm-hmm. I'm over here now, and the scientific method is pretty good, guys. We found that basically when you don't know something, that's the first step to knowing something. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a great position to be in.
Right. We've got a phone call.
Sure.
Let's see if we can't get this other microphone working. And you're on the air. This is Free Thought Radio Hour. Welcome.
Hey, minor correction. I'm a Buddhist, and Buddha reincarnation is actually a Hindu concept. It's not a Buddhist concept. Buddha essentially said that the idea of an afterlife was an interesting theory, but had nothing to do with Buddhist practice.
Okay.
People confuse it with Buddhism, though, because it came out of a Hindu culture.
Uh-huh.
But reincarnation is actually a Hindu concept, not a Buddhist.
Oh, I certainly had that wrong.
Yeah.
I always thought that y'all Buddhists were trying to come back, you know, perfect this life to achieve nirvana, but that you were going to come back as either a higher or lower form of life. But that
it's a common misperception, but that's because some Hindus do believe that, and Buddha was a Hindu. The Buddhist tradition came out of the Hindu tradition,
okay.
But he didn't adopt that part.
Well, this will give me a chance to learn something.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. This
what
is really
do you believe? What do Buddhists believe in after they die? Anything at all?
It's not relevant to the practice. It's not relevant to Buddhism. If there is anything afterlife or not, it's now. It's in the now,
cool.
And after that, that's just there is no, I guess, Buddhist official position on the afterlife. The Buddha called it an interesting theory.
Huh.
Is there any relationships with Buddhism and Taoism?
There's a form of what we call Zen Buddhism that basically everywhere Buddhism went, it was affected by the indigenous religions. So you had Shinto, which was influenced by Buddhism, and it became Zen Buddhism as kind of a Shinto Zen, but actually Zen originally came from China where it was influenced by Taoism. You do have both Taoist and Shinto beliefs in terms of, it's like you had when Christianity went to South America and you suddenly had people believing in Mary the potato goddess. But hey, I didn't go on that company apparently, but great show, keep it up.
Well,
thank you for your call.
Thanks for the call, I appreciate it. So then I guess there's a lot of influences to Buddhism beyond Hinduism or Chinese beliefs.
Yeah, and this right here is why conversation is so important, so that we don't get it wrong.
Right, exactly.
And we don't misrepresent the other position.
So, like I said, for as much time as I spent in school, the main thing that I learned is that you shouldn't really be too confident about anything, but always willing to learn new things. And that's a great example, as long as you open up yourself to it.
Well, sure.
We're always willing to expand.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we don't agree on everything. We've even had pretty awesome conversations before.
Right, we do. That's one of the things about the atheist meetups that we have every Tuesday.
Yeah.
We almost like guarantee an interesting conversation, because the one thing that we don't agree on is, the one thing that we do agree on is that we don't have any beliefs in God, so therefore we're not coming from a religious background generally.
Right.
And we can then talk about anything else using whatever knowledge we have of the subject.
So I have actually gone around to some of the people that are in the group. They're not 100% firm on the idea that they don't believe in God either.
Well, you're talking about knowledge now, not belief. Belief is, atheism is a lack of belief in God or non-belief in God.
Mm.
Theism is a belief in God. Now, we're still talking belief. Now, agnosticism or Gnosticism
knowledge.
Is talking about knowledge. Now, I personally don't claim any knowledge of God. I'm an agnostic, but I'm also an atheist because I don't believe in God.
So you probably run into the situation then where you've been talking to someone and you will say you're an atheist, but they'll say, okay, I'm really more of an agnostic. How do you address that kind of a question?
Well, I try to say that you have just told me that you have no knowledge of God, but you haven't told me anything about your beliefs.
You go through that rigmarole. Yeah,
well, how long did it take me? 10 seconds. I do, yes. I think
and then the conversation just is dead for like a couple of seconds.
Well, yeah, I give them a minute to think, and then they can come back to me with what they believe.
Ah.
Now, it gets tricky
sure.
if they don't know what they believe.
Yeah.
And you get into a gray area there.
Well, it's also really hard when they have like a lot of emotions tied to, or a lot of emotions tied to how they believe. Mm-hmm. And you're not just fighting them on a logical basis, it's the emotions behind
it. Right. So much of it is emotion.
So I was actually talking about this last meeting that we had. I tend to go for analogies, or I tend to prefer analogies a little bit. So if someone was said, oh, I'm really agnostic versus the atheist question, I can wait a while. We'll talk about other things too. But what that gives me is that, what that provides me is, maybe I should explain a frame of reference for what I'm talking about. My favorite one that I go to a lot, and I told you about this before, is I will say, hey, I'm holding, if I were to hold a quarter, and you know what a quarter looks like, I know what a quarter looks like. It has heads, tails. If I flip it in the air, that snap was just me flipping that coin. Catch it midair, slap it on the back of my hand. My hand's covering it. I don't know if it's heads or tails right now.
Right.
I would ask you if you know if it's
heads or tails. It's just in a superposition.
It's in one or the other,
right? It's in both.
Right? But we both don't know what it is.
No.
Okay. We can have beliefs either way, but it doesn't really change what it might actually be.
Right.
But we just don't know at that point. From there, I can segue the conversation to, that's where I'm at on a spiritual basis. Atheism is just, is not a stance on the either the or. It's, we don't have enough information to make a qualified choice.
Atheism, one thing that people have a problem with is they think that atheism claims no God.
Right.
You know, they think that you can't be an atheist because you are saying you know that there's no God. No, they're talking Gnosticism and agnosticism again. But that's not okay. Matter of fact, we don't even say there is no God.
When you say all people, what do you mean by that, though?
I'm sorry?
When you say all people, what do you mean by that? Or like when you say everybody says
other people. Some people.
Yeah, I definitely heard that, too.
Okay, what I'm saying is, atheism, but now some atheists may actually say this, but I don't consider it truthful. But atheism itself, the concept, does not make any positive claims about God.
Sure.
It is a lack of belief, or a belief in the non-presentation of enough evidence to warrant belief in a God.
It's basically you just ended up saying, I don't believe you. It's not that I
That's
believe
it.
The opposite of what you
That's
said.
It.
I just don't think you've made a convincing case yet.
Put another way, the religious people come out generally with claim after claim after claim after claim.
Sure.
Unsubstantiated by any evidence. Now, they claim that you have a soul.
Sure.
They claim that that soul lives forever. And it's going to go somewhere after you die.
That's kind of a scary concept.
They claim that it will go to either heaven or hell.
Okay.
So therefore, they claim the existence of a heaven and a hell.
There's also a purgatory as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Catholic Church has rescinded a little bit on purgatory.
I haven't got that memo.
But, or limbo, anyway. And then they claim that if you don't believe, and I call this the Tinkerbell effect.
Okay.
Because you got to believe in Tinkerbell for her to get better.
Sure,
that type
sure.
Of thing. You have to, if you believe hard enough, or if you believe in Jesus, then your soul will be guaranteed to go to the good place after you die. Now, all of these are claims, truth claims.
Sure.
You know, just like it's bright in the daytime and it's dark at night.
Right.
You know, those are truth claims that can be tested. Now, these particular claims are truth claims that are very hard to test.
Just because
almost impossible to test.
I'm going into my devil's advocate mode.
Sure.
Just because you just can't test it doesn't necessarily mean it's not true at that point.
But
it still requires a demonstration, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, how much stuff are we going to believe simply because it's claimed because we can't prove it's not? I mean, are we going to start believing in fairies and leprechauns and Loch Ness monsters and UFOs and magic and tarot cards and... You know, on and on and on. And how much are you going to be able to be taken advantage of by charlatans because you do put this stuff in that category? Saying, I believe it because we haven't proved it's not true.
There's a danger that comes with having a very low standard of proof or standard of evidence.
Exactly.
Right? I definitely feel that. I also feel like the nature of faith in its own right, like just taking things on faith, is just such a vacuous term. There's nothing to it.
Mm-hmm.
It brings up the question of what can you not take on faith?
Right.
And if you're in that position, what value has does
well,
faith?
Well, Frederick Nietzsche said that a casual stroll by a lunatic asylum will tell you that faith means nothing.
Mm.
Because these are people that have plenty of faith in the delusions that they're experiencing. But are they real?
Sure. But even though faith I don't have a lot of value for, there is value in hope.
But aren't we talking, aren't we using another word?
I mean, aren't we equivocating? It's a completely different word and a different concept.
We're equivocating.
No. There is no equivocation here because faith implies a belief in something that you can't substantiate with evidence necessarily.
Well, that's the Bible definition.
Oh, okay. But, give me the definition you're working with. It's going to work on same terms.
Well, my definition of, if you look up faith in the dictionary,
yeah,
you're going to get four or five different definitions.
Sure. Just usages, though.
Not necessarily definitions. One of them will mention religious faith.
Okay.
Some of them will mention everyday faith, like, I have faith the sun will come up tomorrow. Or they have the third definition of faith in, like, I have faith in my wife.
Okay, again.
She is a good person. Yeah. She will be true.
I have no problem with someone who says they have faith in the sun coming up. Because, you can have faith in everything. It's not a big problem.
Well, what I'm saying is faith in, faith that,
yeah,
and faith, religious faith, are different concepts, and people who try to pass them off as the same concept are being dishonest. They're not, or at least wrong, because they're equivocating. They're not the same thing. We need to keep those differences in the forefront.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So just so our listeners know, when I say faith, I'm referring to something you can do basically to any object, any concept, because you don't need to substantiate it with faith or with evidence. It's freely applied. So I'm asking you, if you can apply it to anything, and if it literally applied to the sun, if it could be applied to your wife, if it could be applied to religion, what is the difference? Maybe it is all the same thing.
There are three different definitions for it. What's the difference?
Yeah, degrees, if you can apply it to everything.
Degrees. Reliability, degrees of evidential probability.
But you don't need it. You can just have faith in it. You see what I mean?
Again,
it's a useless
you're using
term.
Faith in the same as faith as and the faith and religious faith.
Give me an example then that we can go over then. Or give me an example where you can have faith as, faith that.
Well,
honestly,
I have faith
that's substantial.
My brakes will work if I hit them.
You also have faith in that.
Yes, but that's from years of evidential support.
All right.
See, I have faith that the sun will come up tomorrow because I've seen it come up for 66 years.
I would say, in that sense. So now I see what you're saying.
But religious faith is not only in faith of lack of evidence, but in spite of evidence to the contrary.
We can get on that, but at least for this term right here, we said that you can have faith in the sun because you have a lifelong experience of seeing the sun come up. I would say, for my use of that word, I would say, yeah, you can have faith in the sun, but you also have deliberate information or a deliberate background of evidence that you can rely on that informs you very well that the sun will come up.
Yeah.
You're just calling that faith, but you can also have faith in that as well because faith is useless and you can apply it to everything.
Because the language uses that too.
Sure.
So there's a connotation,
at least as far as the dictionary goes, that faith can be more powerful than just this useless label that people can apply on things. Is that what you're saying?
That's what you're saying.
Oh. I'm saying faith can be applied to everything, and that because of that, it's useless. And would you agree with me on that?
Well, I'd say that it's not useless because we do communicate using that word.
Okay,
I mean, you can say, my brakes have been a little quirky lately, but I have faith they'll get me to work.
Okay.
You know,
it's a harmless statement.
It can be.
Okay.
But it also can be a harmful statement.
Sure.
If, you know, I have faith that my prayers will heal my son, you know, when he rotten kidney or something.
And in that case, it's a much darker connotation.
It's much darker, but not only that, it can cost a life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
So again, I wouldn't say it's a virtue. And what, like you said, in the church aspect, when you use it to this,
I hand out cards. I probably gave you a card.
I have like three sets.
And one, it says, faith is incredible. It's kind of winky. Smiley face.
Yeah.
Faith is incredible. With faith, you can believe anything.
Right.
And that's where faith lets you down.
Right.
Every religion on the planet, the preachers of that religion will tell their congregation when they have questions,
sure,
just have faith in what I'm telling you is true.
I've heard that before, yeah.
So what's true then?
Right. If it can be applied to everything, it's not falsifiable. It's not reliable at a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Matter of fact, in my book, Atheism, What's It All About, whenever I use religious faith, the word faith, as religious faith, I always capitalize it. So that people will know that I'm using it in that context rather than just normal everyday use of the word.
Okay, it's faith plus extra baggage beyond it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, in that sense, at least now we're talking about definitely the same thing now. I can see I can see it.
Okay, I'm going to give our voice a break and play a song. this is Big Butter Jesus by Haywood Banks.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, enjoy.
In southern Ohio, just north of Cincinnati, I beheld a vision next to the expressway. Was a 60-foot Jesus with his hands in the air. Looked like he's carved out of butter, just like at the state fair.
Big Butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, old country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promised Jesus, imperial Jesus. Can't believe it's not Jesus. Holy, oh Lord.
Well, you see him from the chest up, like he's about to do a backflip, like he scored a touchdown, or maybe melting or about to drown. Well, I've been to the state fair, seen a cow made out of corn cobs, Garth Brooks out of string cheese, and the Virgin out of olives.
Big Butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, old country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promised Jesus, imperial Jesus. Can't believe it's not Jesus. Holy, oh Lord.
Shipped in pieces on a flatbed, staring backwards was his big head. Driver stuck in traffic backups, desperately avoiding eye contact. Well, don't make no graven images, that's one of the Ten Commandments. I hope the grading curve is kindly, you get to heaven with a 90.
Big Butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, old country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promised Jesus, imperial Jesus. Can't believe it's not Jesus, holy, oh Lord. Believe it's not Jesus.
Oh, spread the word.
Earlier I talked about an atheist TV show. I wanted to tell you how to listen to it and how to see it, how to maybe even get on it. That is Free Thought Forum, and here in Knoxville. It's hold on a second. I've got to bring up another document.
It's also on YouTube, right?
Yes. See. Yes, it's called Free Thought Forum, and you can watch it every Tuesday from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock on Comcast Channel 12 and Charter Channel 196. Or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. That's ctvknox.org. There are also archival shows that a fan has been recording and posting on YouTube. Just search for Free Thought Forum Knoxville on YouTube, and you'll be able to find them. Now, remember, free thought is one word. Also, don't forget that if you want to join us at the Atheist Society of Knoxville for beer and pizza and camaraderie and communication and discussions, just come down to Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City, every Tuesday at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and you'll find 25 or 30 of us gathered at the biggest table in the bar area. Now, it is a non-smoking venue, so feel free to bring your kids. We've got about 4 or 5 kids now that come in with their parents to join us, and it's a very helpful family environment. Okay, Ty, you wanted to talk a little more about faith, I believe?
Yeah, this is actually a great conversation. So what I guess I'm talking about is there anything that could be good that can come about through faith? And I guess if I were to go into my background, my father died when I was really young, and I was essentially raised by a single-parent mom with me and my sister, and she had to very strongly rely on the church networks that were within the cities that we had moved to, because we were military and we were moving everywhere, to help us find, you know, babysitters, to help us move from one place to the other, to help us find things to do on the weekend,
sure,
to just, you know, focus on school. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be religious. Like the religious aspect of it certainly wasn't necessary, but that tends to be the focal point, or at least how religion brings in a community, and one of its major selling points is,
right,
if you come here, you'll be offered this network of people that can help you.
Right.
And when you're outside of that social group, you don't necessarily have that, or it's very harder to find.
I agree. That's why we need to start a social group, and we have Sunday Assembly. We were talking about that a little while ago. Sunday Assembly is a church group that focuses on celebrating life and community and camaraderie without a God in there. They started in England a couple years ago, and they've spread pretty much across the world. We have a chapter here in Knoxville that meets the fourth Sunday of every month in the old city in the can't remember the name of the
is
the
it
building.
Pelepsi.
The what?
Is it the Pelepsi State University?
No, Pellissippi.
Pellissippi.
No, this is in a building in the downtown area.
Okay.
In the old city area, basically. However, if you go on Google and type in Sunday Assembly Knoxville, or go to Meetup and type that in, you'll be able to find directions and times and locations for that. But the thing about it is, back to the point. Yes.
Yeah.
Faith can have a positive effect,
even if it's a placebo effect.
Even if it's a placebo effect, but it should never be relied on to convey truth.
Sure, I can see that as well.
Because faith, like I say, every preacher on the planet uses the word faith to justify their beliefs.
It's not a good test.
Not a good test. No.
It can lead
you down the wrong path just as easily as any other religious faith. But what we need to do is work our society, our community, to the point where we can do the things that churches do without religion.
How do you think we get there?
I think we just do it like Sunday Assembly has started, the Rationalists of East Tennessee. We start communities.
Sure.
We meet and get to know our neighbors, and then work toward a humanist goal.
So, you know, of course everyone wants to contribute, everyone wants to follow through to help their community, but there's still that first existential hurdle that you run into where, oh, that's right, I'm a person, I'm going to die.
Right.
How do I get around that? You have that church, and they have that faith, and like I said, it can be applied to anything. So they're like, hey, we have a response for that. You want to live forever? Who wants to say no to that?
I agree.
And you have cookies.
I know the siren call of Christianity. Sure.
It's a good sales pitch.
You got to take the good with the bad. And
yeah.
They have plenty of bad.
The
bad is that you're born a dirty sinner.
Sure.
You are never worthy of God's love.
Oh, but you don't have to read the book, so you don't need to know any of that. That's all in the manual.
Yeah, right. you sin when you do things like homosexual sex.
Sure.
Is sin.
Sure.
Even though it's two consenting adults doing what comes naturally
to them.
I'm going to
be perfectly honest, and I think your shirt's a sin. It's made out of two different fabrics, right? And I just
ate
shrimp this morning, so I guess that counts.
That's an abomination.
Yeah,
lies of the Lord.
There's
Yeah. A lot of them in the book. So.
What's so funny is that Christians tend to pick and choose which ones that they actually act on and which ones they don't.
But it's not just a Christian thing. I think that's through all faiths.
No, no, most faiths do that. And the thing about it is, Christianity, or in most faiths, will point to their holy book and say, this is the origin of all morality.
Sure.
And they'll point to things like homosexuality and even eating ham if you're a Muslim. But they'll ignore the other things, and that in itself shows that it's not the source of morality. Mm-hmm. Because if it was the source of morality, they would follow all the laws.
Do you believe?
But they've got to be using a separate source of morality, their own,
okay,
to judge each one of these things and deem them either good or bad.
So if we're moving on from faith and, I guess, towards morality, because I'd like to address some of those topics,
sure.
Do you think morality can come from a book, like, as a list? Like, can it all be explained in one book? Like, here's morality, the book. You follow this, you're moral.
No, morality is circumstantial.
Yeah.
Give an example that Dan Barker uses, you know, if you've got a friend, a lady, who comes to your house and she's bloodied and battered.
Sure.
And you take her in and treat her and give her some food. And then the doorbell rings and it's her husband who just beat her.
Okay.
You know. And
this
he
is
says,
interesting.
Is my wife here?
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
So there are some moral systems that say you should not lie.
Well, Christianity says you should not lie. So you would tell him.
So,
you know, she's in the kitchen.
So if you follow Kantianism, which is one of the premier moral philosophies that we base a lot of our laws on, they would also say it's not good to lie. They wouldn't say you should lie. They just say if you did lie, it still wouldn't be morally right because you wouldn't want to live in a society where everyone can lie.
Right.
So there are certain things where it's less, where it's just, hey, if you do this, which you probably should do, it's still going to be morally wrong. You can analyze it afterwards, but seriously, don't do that. Or come up with a new maxim or a new general rule where it says.
The new maxim that I've come up with, and I think a lot of humanists and atheists live by this maxim, is minimize harm.
Minimize harm. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now, that also includes personal, physical, emotional, and financial harm. So that covers a pretty long gamut.
That just sounds like inverse utilitarianism, if you were to ask me. And I think that has also problems.
Well, so maximize harm?
So I would say, if you're a utilitarian, you believe that you should do something that maximizes the most pleasure, or at least the most happiness. But that gets you to the point where you're like giving up your kidneys to people who need kidneys. Mm-hmm. There's no respect for personal property.
Right.
If you're doing the inverse of that, where you're just trying to minimize harm, you're not giving yourself a standard where you're at least trying to have some sort of baseline level of happiness or pleasure. You're just doing whatever you can.
Well, that's above and beyond.
It's like communism, or I don't know if we can get political or anything like that, but like it's like very, very set up. You don't own anything. Give everything you have in excess to someone else.
I'm not getting the connection. Where are you going?
All right, so if you have to minimize harm in all cases.
No, it's not a hard and fast rule. It's circumstantial.
Oh, it's circumstantial. That rule sounded pretty objective.
It is an objective rule, but when you live your life, you can use it to minimize harm. I mean, it's not a law.
Okay, so there are some cases where it's just like some harm's necessary for me to incur
XYZ. Well, I've been reading a book by Dan Barker.
Okay.
He's one of the presidents of Freedom from Religion Foundation. And there's, have you heard of the trolley experiment?
Where he can pull a lever and it'll kill three people or one people, depending on.
Right. If a train's coming down the track or a trolley, it's got no engineer, it's just run away, and it's coming down the track, and you want to, and you see that further on down the track splits.
Okay.
And one of them goes to like five people that are standing around on the track talking.
Sure.
But the other one goes to just one person standing on the track.
Right.
You know, and you got a chance to, if you don't pull the switch, it's going to hit five people and kill them.
Sure.
But if you do throw the switch, it'll hit the other guy.
Absolutely.
It'll hit one guy.
Right.
Of course, the answer is minimize harm, so you'd throw the switch.
In that system, yeah.
But we're human.
Right.
What if that one person was your son?
Right.
You know, or what if, and this is another example.
Can I address that example that you brought
up
at least? In that case, there's also something called negative responsibility, where through inaction, you don't necessarily deserve the repercussions of a certain consequence you didn't enact or start in the first place. You weren't the person to start that trolley. Mm-hmm. You're just a standby who's next to a lever.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't pull that lever at all and you end up killing five people instead of the one, you're still not responsible for that kind of outcome, because there could be some things where if you're not the one who's present, and if there's a system that's already taking place, you could just be an observer and not necessarily be ultimately responsible for the consequence of a particular action.
Right.
There's thoughts, there's school of thoughts that also make that legitimate.
Well, what I'm saying, what we're both possibly saying is that we can't get our morality from a book.
Exactly.
It's not a hard and fast list of things that you have to come up with and live by forever as laws, basically.
Can I come up with an analogy? I love these.
Sure.
So if I were to have a math book, for example, it's a list of rules. Or if I were to say I have a math book and I go to chapter 1 and it says 1 plus 1 equals 2, then chapter 2 says 2 plus 2 equals 4, and then chapter 3 says 5 plus 5 equals 10, and so on and so on, has every arithmetic formula in the book. That's not really math. That's just a list of equations at a certain point. A math book is here's how you add, here's how you multiply, here's how you subtract. You may not always have all the variables you need, but figure it out, because this is how you at least, here's the tools to do it. It's a system.
Well, these are word puzzles, isn't it?
Add the apples.
But, a train leaving Chicago.
But morality is the same way. It's not a list of rules that you follow. There's no list that's long enough. It's a system of these are what your concerns are. These are what you value. Figure it out. You may not always have the answer.
People ask me, but there's got to be some objective rules for life.
Sure.
And I say, if you feel like you really have to have an objective rule for life, go downtown and study the law books.
Yeah, figure it out.
I mean, these are our laws. These are the rules that we have come up with over the last 200 years.
And even those are malleable.
Right, they are malleable. We drop them and we add new laws and change them.
Sometimes to a great benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
And that right there shows that it's situational. Hmm. If we find situations where those rules don't apply, we change those rules.
Right. Yeah. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's a system.
It is.
So. Yeah. When people come to me and just say this book isn't, or my morality comes from this book, I like to have a talk with them, or I like to at least pick their brains a little bit and then try to figure out, is your morality really coming from that book?
Is it really a good book?
Could I present to you a situation where you would disagree with this book, or at least come to an earlier judgment, and then we could have a discussion after that?
Yeah.
I actually asked my mom this question. So my mom, do you want to talk?
No, go ahead.
So my mom, wait a second, you wanted to go to a second point. I apologize for interrupting.
Yeah, well, I do need to give a station identification.
Go for it.
This is WOZO Radio, 103.9 FM, low power in Knoxville, Tennessee, broadcasting from 4th and Gill. And that's it. Let me go ahead and play another song.
Yeah.
And then we can go into the final part of the show. This is God Said by Anthony David. This is the way that many preachers and many religious people deny their own responsibility because they're doing what God said.
Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people may not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, and they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. True story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. But ever since, they have been cursed.
Come shake the hand of my imaginary friend. See the trouble he gets in can't be traced back to me. Oh, he can pretend at the slightest of his whim. He has the power to suspend all rules of morality. And when he gets angry, he can make the lightning strike. He can help me win the fight with his power. Yes, he speaks through me. And it's always positive. 'Cause I can just ask for forgiveness and it's over. So you can't put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said. Don't you put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said.
So you're praying for the death of the President of the United States. Do you think it's appropriate to say something like that? Or
I'm not saying anything. What I'm doing is repeating what God is saying.
In the name of the one who made us all, I will hide behind these walls from my enemies. By the power bestowed from up above, I will conquer you because it is my destiny. And with the righteous this hand. I will bring you to your knees. I will strip you of your freedom without mercy. And when the earth quakes and the blood runs in the sand, there will be no final stand for the unworthy. So you can't put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said.
Okay, we're back. This is Free Thought Radio Hour. This is Larry Rhodes. I'm here with Ty Wells.
Hi, what's up?
And we're talking about faith and religion and Christianity and morality and all of that.
I think we're heading to a positive note, right?
Okay,
all
let's
right.
go.
Tell me something that's uniquely good that came out since you, that came about as your non-belief matured.
Well, no, this is not true for all atheists. But I've been an atheist for 42, 3 years now. I was an atheist in my first year of college, I guess. And that was in 72, 3. I'm now 66 years old. And now, not all atheists give up belief in supernatural entirely.
Sure.
When they, like we were talking about Buddhism and stuff. But I did. When I found out that there was no God, I found that there was no reason to believe in souls or heaven or hell or an afterlife of any kind. So that also meant that there's no ghosts, there's no demons, there's no Satan.
Did the feelings associated with those things also go away, like your fear of hell? Did you have a fear of
hell? Oh, yeah. Well, every Christian that I know of had a fear of hell. I can't think of anyone. If you're a Christian and you believe there's a possibility of going to hell and you don't fear hell, well, I know what you'll say. You'll say, I've accepted Jesus, I don't fear hell. But why are you out there evangelizing if you don't fear the possibility of hell for other people?
I didn't fear hell when I was a Christian. It was only when I was trying to stop being a Christian that the fear started to kick in.
Right.
So is that...
It's kind of like a railing.
Exactly,
so you wouldn't get off the road.
When I was inside that green field, everything was wonderful to me, but it wasn't until I hit that fence that I'm like, wait a second, maybe I should stay on this
side. It's a lot of fears that you will lose if you leave Christianity. I mean, if you realize that there are no gods and no ghosts and no demons. I mean, some people just live in fear, daily fear of demons infesting.
Sure, there's also a frustration that comes about with everybody else still believes this thing that I don't believe anymore.
Right.
Do I really want to fight that battle over and over and over again?
The one atheist I know, you see this online, he says, hey, being an atheist is like being the only sober person in the car and they won't let you drive.
I've actually came from a party where I was the only sober person there.
Yeah.
It's not as fun.
No. especially when they won't let you drive and then another person grabs the wheel.
Always bring enough beer. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So tell me something positive then, I guess.
About atheism?
That came about as your belief went away.
Well, that's what I was talking about. The lack of fear was the major thing.
The lack of fear.
Yeah, you didn't have to. You don't have to worry about an all-powerful, all-judgmental judge of right and wrong, watching every single thing you think or do.
So maybe it wasn't the lack of fear. Maybe it's the overcoming of that fear.
Sure.
That was better. That's something. Okay.
Yeah.
As that, I can totally see.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Living in the natural world, not worrying about supernatural demons and Satan. And I mean, there are people that worry so much about what demons are going to infect them. There's particular religions that one of them will let you watch TV because demons will come through TV.
Sure. Yeah. I remember when I was growing up, there was a show called Powerpuff Girls. I don't know if you've ever seen that. One of the main bad guys is a devil-like character. I think her name is just her or him.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny character. But as soon as my mom saw that on TV, she wouldn't let me watch that show. And it came to the point where I was like, I would go to school. All the kids would have Powerpuff Girl t-shirts and chains. I'd be like, yeah, I don't watch that show because it's Satan.
Yeah.
I felt so powerful then. I felt so righteous on the high horse.
Yeah. Even in Mormonism, they won't let you watch certain news shows or TV shows or read certain newspapers. They limit your bubble of information to keep you in the church.
And there's some great stuff outside of that bubble. By the way, just for the record, I love that show. I watched almost every episode. After I warmed my mom up to the idea of what the show was about, she was totally cool with it.
Oh, this show?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's actually great because as a part, I would say, I guess, outside of religion becoming like non-religious, I am more open to what other religions are doing as well as things that I've cut myself off from because of that limitation.
We have more understanding of what they're having. But you came through it, but while you're in it, you don't have that understanding.
Exactly,
But once you get out of it and can see it from a distance.
So, while I was a Christian, I would probably never have a very good Muslim friend. But now that I've out, our group, our research group, has many different kinds of Muslims. We have different kinds of Hindus. We have other non-believers as well, other Christians as well. And I can come to them on a more open play platform because I don't come with my own personal biases when I talk to them about stuff. Uh-huh. So when they open up and tell me about their faith, it's a highly educational experience for me. Like, thank you so much for telling me these things. These are really great. I'm learning about haram, halal. I'm learning about new holidays. Mm-hmm. This is really interesting. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. It's not I already got my own thing. Yeah.
Right. When I was in the Navy, they told me that if I didn't go to church on Sunday, I could go to. That's fine, they said.
But I didn't know they can do that.
Huh?
I didn't know that. Or finish your story. I didn't know that was a thing they could do.
They said you can not go to church. That's fine. You can go over to the kitchen. You can wash dishes, or you can go and take this lawnmower out there and mow yards.
How many dishes are we talking about? I love washing dishes
forever, all day long. And it didn't take me long to decide that I would just go visit different churches, different faiths.
I spent
a lot of time in different churches, learning about what they believe in.
Maybe our Buddhist friend can call back. They like to meditate. I like to wash dishes. That's my Zen time. Mm-hmm. I like to just clear my mind out and just wipe off.
Okay, we still got 10 minutes of the show. If somebody wants to call in, we're at 333-5937. That's 333-5937.
So let's go out there with the time that we have left. We just had a presentation from Jerry DeWitt. Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Jerry DeWitt came into town today and did a book signing and did a presentation for the Rationalists of East Tennessee.
Yeah.
Down
tell me how
Mississippi.
That went. How'd that go? Or what
it went
talk
fine.
About?
He talked about how what we have in common with religious people. Basically, atheists get their morality from a concept called humanism.
There's a lot of
different types of atheists.
And I would say he's wrong.
Of them.
I would raise my hand during that talk.
Like, some of them. Well, no, I'm paraphrasing what he said. I disagree with him.
Sure. Jerry, you seem like a nice guy.
Yeah.
You can come on the show sometime.
What he's basically saying is we have a lot in common.
Okay.
Religious people get into religion to help the world, to save souls,
sure.
to make the world a better place.
There's a personal stake
right.
on each of their part where they feel like
right.
they've been called to duty.
Right. And atheists have humanism and non-harm, and they also want to be able to help their communities. And we just need to bring that together and forget as much of the differences as we can to make the world a better place. I didn't say it as well as he did. He's very eloquent. But he was calling for that type of working together.
Okay.
Pulling together.
Sure. I totally agree with that. I think, again, if we had better communities where people were just more comfortable with the idea of their non-belief, or at least just having a standard of evidence that they're more upfront about, and if, say, Christianity or Christians could actually meet that, say, okay, so you have a standard of belief why we don't make a convincing argument. Let's improve our arguments for why we think a God exists, mm-hmm. and then hopefully we can come to a better understanding right. of what the nature of that God yeah. actually is. Yeah. I think it's beneficial to all parties well, sure. to have that.
And atheism is right up front about the fact that some of religion is harmful. And if we could get a communication going between the religious people and the non-religious people
sure.
about talking about the harm that religion does, maybe we can learn to minimize that harm going forward.
Yeah.
We don't have to have that type of thing going forward.
It also makes the education a lot easier because you broach topics that aren't necessarily covered in Christianity, like very young, like say death. Death isn't something you have to worry about because you will live forever. So it's just something that happens yeah. unexpectedly. But don't really think about it too much.
Right.
But if you were, I guess, raised as a kid knowing what the process of death is, maybe it won't be as scary of a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And then when it does come, it's like, yeah. I'm prepared to handle right. this.
A lot of religious people think that once they found a way of avoiding hell,
sure.
that, no, they're good. But they never really consider what heaven would be like.
Oh, how much time do we have? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we got 2 minutes.
So what is your idea of what? All right, listen. So I'm like, again, don't just say it doesn't exist.
I was a Christian. I sure. have an idea what heaven would
what
have been.
What was your idea of heaven? Because it couldn't have just been clouds and harps, right?
Well, no. Well, I guess.
Tell me what your impression of heaven was.
Well, first of all, the Bible is very sketchy on what heavy heaven is.
I don't think really is much.
There's not much in there.
There's so a right-hand side of God, and basically right. that's it.
That leaves most of it up to the preachers to describe to you.
Fantastic.
And generally, most of the description comes from, will heaven have so-and-so? Why, yes, it will.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, then yes, it will.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So free ice we don't cream know much about
long.
Heaven.
Right.
But one thing we do know, and everybody will agree on, is you spend all of your time praising God.
Right. That's
how many
a really
people
long
start,
time.
Start wiggling on their church pew after 2 hours?
Yeah.
You know, or even an hour. And now it's nonstop for eternity.
So eternity is a very long time when you really think about
well,
it.
Well,
like a decade,
not, it is,
a century.
It's not a long time.
A thousand
it
years later.
It is never ending. That's the thing.
Oh, my gosh.
It never ends. There is no end. And to me, having an end to my existence is much more preferable to going on and on. And
trillions of years later,
never,
still praying.
Ever ending.
Quadrillions of years later, still praying.
Yeah. Oh, one question I like to ask people is, what are you going to do for your 27th trillionth birthday? You know?
How many times have you birthday cake?
What unique stuff can you come up for your 27th trillionth birthday? And that's just the start.
So I'm already, I don't know if it's just me. I hope I'm not getting too cynical, but like I just celebrated my 30th birthday, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't really do much. I had some friends. I hang out with friends, but there was a time yeah. where that was an insane period of time. Where it was like, I want to get that birthday cake. I want to get
right.
that ice cream.
Right.
I'm going to buy myself, or I'm going to have some people buy me stuff, put it in a box, and I'm going to unwrap it. I'm going to be super happy
yeah.
about it. Now I buy my stuff off Amazon whenever I want.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy cake whenever I want.
Yeah.
I can get ice cream whenever I want. I can sing happy birthday to...
You can have cake every day.
I could have... I have cake every day already. Oh, my gosh. But... It kind of takes the fun out of it, and I can imagine after a certain point I get tired of it and I just want to try other things,
yeah.
or at least I want that to end.
Well, not only this, but let's say the most fun you have on earth is hunting and fishing.
Okay, sure.
Well, there are no animals in heaven.
What? How do you know that?
Do animals have souls?
There'll be animals in heaven because I want there to be animals in heaven.
It's
the
okay.
best place in the world, right?
Well, does it say anything like that in the Bible?
It says it's an everlasting paradise, right? And you just said hunting an animal, so it has
we'll
to
be
it there.
I don't know.
Right?
Well, that's just it. We have questions.
So let's say there is heaven. Let's say there is animals up there. You're just saying you would get bored of hunting them eventually?
Well, I would think so. I hunted when I was younger, mm. and I didn't get bored, but I took pity on them.
Okay.
I mean, the time I went duck hunting... And I saw a pair of ducks,
sure.
and I shot one,
sure.
and the other one flew off,
mm.
and then I went home and read that they mate for life.
Yeah, they're kind of, yeah, I got opinions about ducks, but yes, yeah.
But anyway,
really,
that's
really
the
nice.
Kind of thing that made me stop hunting.
Yeah.
Now, I still fish.
Okay.
but I fish and release. So you might say that I don't fish, I torture fish.
So you're basically giving the fish a religious experience they can't prove when they go back to their friends. Yeah. Hey, guys, you won't believe what happened to me.
Don't believe what happened to me.
I don't already believe what happened to you.
See, I have the stigmata in my lip.
So my impression of heaven wasn't... So I had a weird one. Heaven has to be perfect, right? Because it's perfect, it can't hold multiple people because everyone has their own idea what perfect is, like we just went through.
Yeah. So it has to be your own personal
It would
heaven.
Have to be your own personal heaven. You have your own little chair, and you're just dialed into your own little personal matrix. But in my mind, that was sad in the event that I couldn't really have an honest interaction with another person because either God changed my mind so that I wouldn't realize I'm not really interacting with people and I'm just acting with NPCs all day, or I know I'm acting interacting with NPCs and I just can't really do anything about it because I can't interact with anyone else's heaven.
Right. And also think about
us perfect.
Think about Muslims. Theoretically, they think about that they're going to blow themselves up. They're going to get to heaven and have 73 Muslims, virgins.
It's only some Muslims. Okay, so yeah, there are, there's a...
72 virgins.
There's a lot of fret Muslims that believe that.
Okay, well, let's take that for instance.
But...
what about those female Muslims? Is that their idea of heaven? Are these real female Muslim angels?
What is
the
idea?
And do they really want to share the world with one guy and 71 other people? But these are renewable, self-renewing virgins, too. They want to be virgins for the rest of their lives, losing their virginity every time he makes love to them?
Maybe you don't. Maybe they just stay as virgins. Maybe you can just do whatever
you want. No, what I'm saying is that's not much of a heaven for the virgin.
It's just a limited supply. So it's a weird thing because I have...
Are these NPCs?
I have some good friends that are Muslim that I'm going to have to go back with them. I'd like to go back and explain what their idea of paradise in Islam is. I think what we're doing is probably overplaying like a couple of verses in the Quran that mentions what happens if you go through a particular form of jihad.
Okay.
But it may not necessarily be like the standard... operating procedure to just give 72 virgins to every single person who dies when they blow themselves up. There could be unholy.
Do you have any famous last words? We're about to close with a song.
Peace and love in the Middle East. Let's go.
I'm all for that, for sure. Okay, this has been Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Larry Rhodes, and I've had Ty Wells with me.
Hi.
And Ty has offered to join me later some other Sundays.
Yeah, let's do it. I don't mind it. Yeah.
Okay. So we may be seeing more of Ty. And we're going to end the song with There Is an End by the Greenhorns. See you next week.
Words disappear. Words once so clear.